Please turn to John chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. You ever heard someone say, oh, that guy thinks he walks on water, right? That lady, man, she just thinks she walks on water. Well, Jesus actually did walk on water. Like, really. This isn't just like kind of a story that's meant to teach a lesson, kind of like, you know, let's imagine this great person walked on water so we can learn a good lesson about how to be good people. Certainly there's a lesson in the scriptures today as we learn of Christ walking on water. But he really did walk on water. Let's read now. This is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. I should add that the context here is that Jesus just fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Their families were there as well. Now he's leaving. Started across the sea to Capernaum. That's sort of like Jesus' home base there. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. This would happen on the Sea of Galilee. There was this kind of shaft in the mountain range around there, and when the wind passes through it, it really punches through and can really get those waves and the sea in a tremendous storm. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word that we can have the highest confidence in because it's yours. Teach us today and empower us by your Spirit to walk in your way. Amen. Now, what I'm about to tell you about is certainly not something that's unique to CCCBA. I saw it at Crossroads, where I was a minister before, which one might call sort of an American church or a non-immigrant church by and large. You see it in all kinds of different immigrant churches. Immigrant church meaning a majority of the population in the church is from another country coming to the United States, and in a second generation and hopefully third generation as well. And what you see is that, of course, here in the United States, people are interested in being citizens of the United States. It's known to be a great country. By no means is it a perfect country. But people are interested in getting out of bad situations, maybe, where they're living at in another country, and coming here and becoming citizens. Then you got others in the United States, maybe often men, who are interested in a wife, right? And there are pretty women in China. They've got these mail-to-order brides, and so, you know, you get online and you maybe find one, and you find out that she's potentially interested in coming to the States and becoming a citizen. So you've got the guy, he wants a wife. You've got the woman, she wants citizenship. Everybody wins, right? Now, we've actually seen this here at our church, where a couple like that will then... Let me say something, by the way. Every time this kind of situation happens does not mean that these people have bad intentions or motivations, okay? I love when people use the internet to meet a spouse. If people want to begin their relationship that way, that's wonderful. But people do not always have the best motives. Motive is everything. And we've seen at CCCBA, and I've talked to Pastor Chua about this, and there is something over the many years that has been something of a small problem. When people come to the church, they're doing this very thing that I just described, and they want to become members here, and they want to be married by the pastor, and it's all in an effort to make a better case before the judge. You see, we go to the church, we're good people, we love each other, we've been there for a couple of years, we got married by the pastor. Of course we're not doing this for the wrong reasons. Of course we're not trying to cheat the system. When those two people come, and by the way, I don't know anybody at our church presently doing this, but when you have two people come and do that, what kind of Jesus do they think really exists? I think we could say it is the easy Jesus. The easy Jesus. The one who provides for all of your needs. You want citizenship? Come on down. You want a wife? Come on down. You're getting married here. You want plenty of food? Jesus has got that all day. You want housing? You want help? That's the kind of Jesus you want, who makes life easy. But that is a false Jesus. That is a phantom that never existed. And that is a Jesus that can never, ever truly help you. We need the true Jesus. And that's all we're going to look at today, is the easy Jesus and the true Jesus. The easy Jesus is easy to see. We just look at chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Jesus goes out with his disciples, 5,000 men with families gather. Jesus provides a miracle, feeds all of these people. I don't know if Costco could handle this, right? Okay? Jesus is phenomenal. These people were not wealthy people. When Jesus said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread, it's because that's what they were living. Day to day, hand to mouth. And you've got a guy coming out and feeding everybody so that there were 12 baskets left afterward? Yeah, he's going to make life quite easy. He could provide for our food. No doubt he could provide for our housing. He could provide for our clothing. I mean, the people kind of see the problem of not having enough food and their inadequacy to address that. The problem is they don't see deeply enough their problem or their inadequacy. And so immediately they're clapping their hands. They say, what is it? This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Moses had made a promise. One day a prophet like him would come. And they're like, yeah, that guy is. I like him. Let's fold him into the narrative. Yeah, he's the one who's coming after Moses, right? And what do they want to do? Verse 15, perceiving then that they were, the crowd, to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The problem here is that they want the easy Jesus to be king. And that's not who Jesus is. If they come to Jesus on those terms, they will find no Jesus at all, for he will withdraw. All of us, not just in here, I would even say the world, want the easy Jesus. I met a guy in the library recently, very smart guy. He was studying something. He was studying this book about Jesus. So I said, hey, why are you studying that book? We had this conversation. He unloaded like 15 different philosophers' names in like 30 seconds. I was lost. He was a very smart guy. And he was studying about the Messiah complex or something along those lines. That everybody in the world wants a Messiah, right? This is the Messiah, the Savior, and the King that the world wants. One that does not say, look at your heart and see the corruption. Tim. Be humble. Don't be prideful. Submit to the living God. Do what He says, not what you think you should do. That ain't the easy Jesus, is it? That's the true Jesus. But we all struggle with wanting that easy one, don't we? Where are you struggling right now with that? What are you doing about it? Where is the temptation to turn Jesus into an idol? Something of our own fabrication. If you don't resist, you'll be left with a phantom. Christ will have withdrawn. Where will you be left? The disciples don't see Jesus. You think Jesus forgot about them? Went to Wawa, got a sub, and he was like, oh my gosh, the time. I don't even know where those guys went. All throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus has said he has one thing to do, and that is the will of the Father. To bring the word of the Father, to do the actions that he has seen the Father do. His life is about passing on his life to the apostles to start this church. He is utterly aware that they don't know where he is while he is on that mountain. In fact, it is he, I would argue, that creates the storm on the sea. The true Jesus allows us, even brings us, into storms in life. Why? Because he's mean? Because he just likes things to be harder? No. Because it's necessary. If we don't hit those storms, we don't see our inadequacies to solve our problems. Jesus brings his people to know themselves more truly, both in all of their gloriousness as image bearers of the living God, and in all of our humility as sinners. And he brings us into those situations so that we can see our heart, and we can see the depth of our problem, and we can see the depth of our inadequacy to do anything about it. And it is in those situations that the true Jesus comes to you. Let's read here. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. They'd rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He could have taken a boat. Why walk on the storm? Because he's above it. Because he's the Lord of it. In fact, when he meets them, what does he say? It is I. Do not be afraid. The word, it is I, that phrase, ego eimi in Greek, which means I am, which is a reference back to the Old Testament. When God said to Moses, my name is I am. Tell them I am has sent you. When Jesus says it is I, he's not just simply saying it's me. He's saying, I am the living God who can bring storms and who can walk on storms and who can settle storms and who can bring you to your desired ends. Even ends you never desired. I can do that. I am the true Jesus. I am enough to solve your problems. I am enough. I am adequate to deal with your suffering and your pain and your heart. That is the true Jesus who brings you to a right knowledge of yourself and a right knowledge of himself. I was at the beach this past week on the Jersey Shore. Jersey, right? The Jersey Shore. Lots of Italians out there. My family's Italian. It's kind of a... Don't forget I said that. Anyway, Jersey Shore. At the Jersey Shore, we're on the beach, and I'm playing with my kids, and I look over, and there's a woman. And I don't have any problem with this, by the way. Okay? But she's sitting, water's lapping up close to her. It's a sunny day, nice breeze, wearing a bathing suit, you know, sunglasses on, copper tone, you know, you can smell it in the wind, no mosquitoes. She's sitting down on the beach, legs crossed, hands up, you know, doing this thing, eyes closed, seeking to be spiritual. I mean, maybe the woman is a Christian, more power to her. But as I saw her, I remember these magazines that I see, the rack at Giant, you know, called like Modern Spirituality or something like that. Everybody looks like that, right? They've got ads for healthy foods. They've got ads about how to stretch and work your muscles. And everybody looks happy. And a lot of people are sitting with their legs crossed doing this, right? Modern spirituality is about the easy Jesus. Okay? I'm not saying that God couldn't meet that woman in a peaceful situation. In fact, I want all of our worship services to be peaceful situations. But here's the thing. Do you understand that in conflict, in difficulty, in hardship, in a storm, that does not keep Jesus from coming to you? Maybe you think that everything's got to be just right for you to be spiritual. No. More often than not, it's in the midst of a storm that Christ graciously, meaning freely, not because of anything that you've done, not because of a right preparation in a certain position, but because Christ freely comes to you and reveals Himself to you. The only one who has zero problems and who is completely adequate to deal with yours is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has died for you. He has been raised for you. He knows you better than your mother or your father or your spouse or your children. Jesus Christ knows everything about you, and He is adequate to make you whole again, like no one else and nothing else in creation can. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for meeting us in the storm. Help us to put away the easy Jesus. And help us. Come to us, O Lord Jesus. Show yourself to us, Lord Jesus. Amen.